You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't believe in sex after marriage, Pete Schwabach.
Welcome back. Oh, yeah. We are jamming here on a Wednesday night, ladies and gentlemen, a Wednesday night version of Nightlight. Hope you're having a great day. And if you're not, please join us for some fun here, and we'll try to send you off to bed in a good mood. We're off the air at 8 o'clock, though, Conrad. People don't go to bed.
Some do.
At 8 o'clock. My wife does sometimes. She's a kindergarten teacher, so I think if she could probably go to bed at 4 o'clock in the afternoon if she could sometimes, because it's pretty exhausting. What time do you usually crash?
Depends on the day, I feel like. But usually probably around 1.
1 a.m.?
Maybe earlier, 12:30 to 1.
Man, I am
sometimes there's those nights where I just can't fall asleep, though, you know.
I'm trying to get to bed earlier, but it's tough because I leave here, I drive. Sometimes I go to the gym, then I'm wide awake. Then I have a double cappuccino around midnight.
Well, that's probably why you're staying up.
I'm doing just fine, buddy. lots of fun here tonight. We had Mace Michaels on in hour number one, if you missed that. He was a lot of fun. He does such a great job doing weather here at Civic Media, along with Brittany Merlot, Corey Hartman. Corey's kind of a badass when it comes to weather. His company is called Severe Studios. That's more or less saying we look head eye to eye with weather. And I saw a video of him. He was kind of narrating and chasing the storm. It was just, I don't ever want to chase a storm, but I wish I wanted to chase a storm. Does that make sense?
You want to do the thing, but like you're scared.
It's not even like, here's the thing, like with fear. Yeah, I don't want to do stuff that might kill me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, me too.
Like, you want to take a poke at me? I'll fight you. I'm walking away from that. I'm not walking away from a tornado. So there is a fear element for sure. I don't know. Would you do that?
Well, I mean, you know, sometimes when you're chasing a tornado, you know, you could find love. So
if you're in the movies, yeah.
So that's why I'm always going to chase the tornadoes.
I already found love. You should go on like a young Christian singles tornado venture.
You think I can find Sydney Sweeney?
Sydney Sweeney. Is that her name? Sydney Sweeney, yeah. You know, I'm confused because Amanda Seyfried, they look like twins almost. They're in that new movie. What's it called? The Housemaid.
That looks creepy. Really, really creepy.
It is creepy. It's an erotic thriller, I think, is what they're calling it.
Anything with Sydney is erotic.
It has to be erotic if it's Sydney Sweeney.
Like the boxing one. It was erotic sports.
Well, she was a nun in a movie, and somehow that became erotic. That's not right. So there you go. But Mace was here. Coming up at 6:35. Is Rob on at 6:35 or 6:20?
I believe 6:35.
6:35. I think so, too.
6:35.
We've got Rob, and we are keeping him for 2 hours because I miss Rob.
We're keeping him past.
Rob will be here at 6:35. We're going to talk about some big movie openings, some holiday films. I don't think he's seen Avatar yet, but I will say that like the reviews are in. There's like 180 reviews in. It's probably not going to get any more, or they'll trickle in. It's at 70%. But that movie could stink, and the special effects alone are going to get it a decent review, and it's James Cameron. So I'm not, my bar is always low with these movies when I go in. And I usually leave going, that was fun. Not thinking it was a cinematic masterpiece, but it was a fun movie.
I really enjoyed the last one. I went with a big group of my friends, and well, that was when we were in college, so it was easier to go with a group. This time I'm going by myself.
Why? So you can focus more?
I think ever since I, you know, started living by myself, going to the movies by yourself is so much better to me because you don't know what the other people around you are going to do, and they could pull their phone out and be like, you know. But there's no talking anyways in the movie.
Right.
And I don't want to talk.
No, I'm totally with you.
So I like, I mean, it's cool actually to, you know, discuss it after it though. Yeah, I don't have an outlet after to talk about it.
See, that's the thing. If you go with someone, my favorite thing to do is, like, my wife likes to eat before the movie. I like to go to the movie and then eat because then you can discuss the movie. And you're not like in a hurry trying to rush through dinner. We've been there so many times telling the waitress, hey, we're trying to make a movie. And she doesn't care, you know?
Yep.
She could not care less. And then, folks, in hour number three, James Netz will be here.
Yes.
Netz with a Z. He'll be here. He is a photographer. We're going to ask James all about Christmas in Hayward. If you could, I've been through Hayward a few times. It is a very picturesque place. And I'm very excited to talk about Christmas there because that's one of those, like, you know, you go through it, especially at Christmas time, it feels like they should be shooting a movie there. Like, it's one of those kind of places. So we'll talk about that. Right now, I think we should reintroduce, Con, our nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
All right, what stresses you out the most about the holidays? What do you find the most stressful? Let's read some texts. For me, I totally stole my answers. And I rarely do that. I do give these questions some thought. Well, first I think of the question, and then I think about what my answer will be. But tonight, like, it's kind of a no-brainer. The holidays are just stressful. In a good way sometimes, but sometimes you get stressed out. And I would say I'm totally stealing Jenny Brand's answer, our civic media colleague. She said expectations. She said unnecessary expectations we put on ourselves and the occasion. And I totally agree with that. And Daniel Wheeler agreed with her. But I also like what May said, buying gifts. That is something I do tend to leave to the last hour. I'm not a particularly good gift getter. So I think both of those kind of stress me out. Luckily, my wife is one of those people who will suggest things for me. And I'm so bad at it. I figure even if she gives me a bad recommendation, it's going to be better than what I could come up with. So that's a big help. But those are stressors. Conrad said shipping and handling.
Yeah, you know, like you leaving a gift to the last minute and then having to deal with the shipping and handling after that is
right.
$38 in international fees. Yeah.
And like, you got to do it because you don't want to be the one guy at the gift exchange. You got to print up a picture of it and go, it's on the way.
It's coming. Trust me, it's coming. No, I went
to pulling up Amazon on your phone.
Yeah, I went to Amazon and I got the fast shipping. I was like, I can't wait. That was stressful today.
Next year, I would like to plan ahead. I do not want to give any more of my hard-earned money to Amazon.
Yeah.
Or even these big websites. Like, I'd so much rather go, and I have done this whenever possible in the past, a mom-and-pop place that they're rare anyway now, but I would always prefer to do that rather than, they're just rich enough. And it's not even it's just whatever. JB Thompson says, remembering to turn off the stove.
That's a good one.
Uh-oh, be right back. He remembered while he was texting his answer. I love that. Well done. You know who JB Thompson is, right? He's the guy behind the guy.
Behind the guy.
Yeah.
Behind the other guy, too.
That's JB. Sean Boyce on social media says, watching everyone else get stressed, the lady brand, I think he meant the Jenny brand, I don't know, posted above laid out the root cause of this quite well. So Jenny is the catalyst here.
I think you say, like, because, like, in old times, they would say, like, the lady brand. That was
a terrible accent, you're right.
But you get what I'm saying.
I do. You look like you stepped right out of Game of Thrones when you said that.
The accent was spot on.
It was pretty good. So we've got... Rachel from Milwaukee in the six, but she's in Milwaukee, but her area code, Conrad, 608. That's just a world of conflict right there.
Yeah.
I don't know how Rachel gets through the day, but she says, this is Rachel, Sydney's girlfriend. Now, Sydney is Sydney Politics or Sydney Science? What's his other name? He is Politics. I can't remember what the other one was.
Frankenstein.
Sydney Frankenstein. Well, Rachel, I met at the screening. She was there with Sydney, the screening of The Godfather of Green Bay 2 weeks ago tomorrow. Already. And she's wonderful. They're a wonderful couple. And Rachel's, this is Rachel, Sydney's girlfriend. What stresses me out for the holidays is that Sydney's dad booked a lot a not necessary back procedure on Christmas Eve. Oh, come on. Leaving Sydney as a designated driver, and now I'm planning the Eve host efforts myself. Sad face, tears emoji.
I got something that could help her out with Eve hosting.
Yeah?
Any gifts you have to wrap, don't wrap them. Gift bag.
Conrad's Gift Bags. Gift Bags by Conrad. I think that's a better name.
A lot of the stress will go out of the window if you just get gift bags.
Rachel, I feel for you. I like Sydney a lot. I kind of already like you a little better because he did this, and I don't think that's fair. And I think at the very least, Conrad and I will give Sydney a talking to. Sydney's dad, really.
Yes, yes.
But you can't get mad at Sydney. He doesn't control his dad.
Well, you know, now the doctor has to work on Christmas Eve, you know?
Yeah, that's weird. Unless he just means a massage, a back procedure. It's a massage. He can't drive after a massage. I need a joint.
Emergency chiropractor session. Yeah.
An adjustment. Thank you, Rachel, for the text. It's nice to see you branching out and not just living vicariously through Sydney's text. Great to hear from you. Monica from Mount Horeb says, tuned in late because I still haven't gotten used to this 5 p.m. start. Don't you love it when a listener says I tuned in late? Like, there's no rules. You could join the show at any time, but I love that Monica wants to be on time. That's pretty cool. She says, I still haven't gotten used to this 5 p.m. start. Neither have I, Monica. She says, you asked about the holidays, but I don't know if that's the question of the night. It is, and stress, and she probably has figured that out by now. She says, it's ungrateful, but I don't appreciate getting things. I'm old and don't need things, in quotes. Like you mentioned an earlier broadcast about wanting experiences instead. I did, and I believe in that strongly, Monica. She continues saying, I cringe at the thought of getting more socks or mugs.
Well, socks. You
know. But I should be appreciative that I have people in my life still willing to get me things because I can be a real a-hole sometimes. Oh, that is a great text, Monica. And I'm totally with you. I kind of feel the same way. First of all, we don't have a huge house and we don't have a basement. I don't need more stuff. I would much rather have experiences or time. And just make a memory. Jim from the 920, our pal Jim says, I was going to say everything. Unreasonable expectations covers that really well. Traveling, gift buying, timing dinner out for when people show up, trying to get the Santa believer to go to sleep, getting up at 4:30 a.m. with the Santa believer. Should grandpa go on? No, you've covered it all,
yeah.
Jim. I do remember one year, and it's so funny because when the kids expect things, like my daughter... I was videotaping, and my daughter comes into the room and sees the presents under the Christmas tree, and the first thing she says is, not as many as last year. Pause, go out of the room, and come back in with a better attitude. She was like 5 years old. She's ripping on Santa Claus.
That's fantastic.
It was great. All right, share with us, folks, your most stressful thing of the holidays, and we will read the rest of these texts and any new ones coming up. We're going to do a very short break, and then I'm going to tell you the best city for Christmas. You won't believe it. It's Peachwaba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A nightclub, too, in the basement, down in the basement. There's no cover charge of fee, and the food and drinks are free in the basement.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. Happy holidays, everybody. Gorgeous night here in downtown Green Bay. A little warmer today. That was fun. We didn't freeze to death or anything like we did last weekend. What is weather in Chicago supposed to be like, Han, for the Bear-Packer game? Do you know?
Of what? One second. Let me go to the weather wrap.
God. You know what? It would be more riveting radio if you just guessed rather than took time out to look at your phone, pull up your app.
And 34 and sunny.
On Saturday night? Sunny?
Oh, that was Sunday. Sorry. Oh, yeah. Well, now I got to go back.
It could be, I thought I heard it could be 40 in Chicago.
Oh, actually, it's colder on Sunday. 15 degrees on Sunday. Saturday's 34 degrees.
That should be, that's perfect.
But I mean, during kickoff, it's probably going to be 20 degrees. So
by the, on the lake too, that yeah, doesn't
it's,
help.
It's going to be cold out there and they're, you know, hard hits.
Yeah.
You're going to hear them.
That amazes me, like that they could play in that, like that game. Well, I was watching the Bears game last week against Cleveland. It was zero. It felt like five below in Chicago. Yeah. And they're hitting. Like, it's just awful.
You know, it's funny. I saw a stat that, you know, Miami Dolphins are, I mean, you know, they're so used to the hot weather down there in Miami.
Yeah.
They haven't won a game in, like, these cold winter games in, like, I don't know, since, like, 2016 or something like that.
Really?
And they always prepare by doing something funny, like on social media. Like before the game, they played the Pittsburgh and it was 0 degrees and they all came out wearing shorts and t-shirts.
That is nuts.
In the snow and throwing snow at each other and they lost.
That coach is going to get launched. I thought he was a good, like when he started, he was kind of cool and he's playing rap music and dancing and the players loved him and he seemed like a good play caller. Holy smokes, they go downhill in a hurry.
I don't know if you heard, but they just put Tua as the quarterback 3 on the depth chart now.
If I were that guy, I wouldn't go near a football field. That concussion he had like 2 years ago is one of the scariest things I've ever seen in my life.
I think he has now 4 concussions.
Take the money and run.
Including Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
awful.
A lot of injuries, a lot of concussions. I don't even know how he's still playing. But he's also making $223 million over 4 years, so.
Yeah, but if he walks away for medical reasons, how much of that does he get to bank?
I think he still gets a decent amount.
All of it?
I don't know about all of it. There might be a clause in there, but no, you know.
Honey Mill? I'd take that for my brain power.
Well, you know.
All right, so speaking of Miami, I saw this, and I thought this was interesting. The 10 best cities for Christmas in 2025. I just totally disagree with this. This is off that Wise Brother Media, and it was Wallet Hub, though, that ranked it. The best cities to spend Christmas in, and this year, Atlanta took the top spot.
Hmm.
They base it on things like how many holiday-themed events there are, seasonal businesses like Christmas tree farms, how easy it is to shop, and how much people love the holidays based on Google searches. Okay, not a bad criteria for measuring it, but what about, like, all right, whatever. We'll hold our judgment until the end. Atlanta is number one, then San Francisco, Seattle, Orlando, Vegas. None of those cities have snow.
All those don't sound very Christmassy, especially Vegas. It's like, yeah, all right, here's $200. Here's your gift card. Now go gamble it.
Right. I mean, maybe Frisco because it's an older city, or Seattle, I guess. But Orlando, Vegas, Atlanta, St. Louis is number 6.
So, I mean, I feel like that's more Christmassy than any of the other ones, I felt like.
I guess. And then it's Miami, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, I could see. Pretty town, some snow, New Orleans, and Cincinnati. And I don't need snow to have a great Christmas. We spent many Christmases in L.A. just, you know, and it was great. At first, it was like, this is weird. And by year 3, it's like, oh, we can go to the park. Let's do it. We loved it. But now that I've been back here, I kind of want snow for Christmas, but none of those cities. I would not want to spend Christmas, and nothing against them. These are some great towns. I don't think any of these would make my top 10.
Orlando is crazy to me because I feel like that's just crazy packed all the time.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, during Christmas where they, you know, people go to Disney and Universal and all those places. They put on some good shows there, but it's just always super packed. So I don't know.
Maybe they dress it up and they play Christmas music. I don't know. But this is the same survey said, but of the 100 cities they looked at, Vegas was 5. North Las Vegas ranked second to last, 98th or 99th. So make sure if you're going to spend Christmas in Vegas, you're not in North Las Vegas. Apparently, there's a big drop-off between Vegas and North Las Vegas.
It's not that far apart. It's
no.
It's like 2 minutes,
why,
right?
It's so funny and weird. But they sent a map, or there was a map attached to. I appreciate the colors you added. No Wisconsin cities.
Yeah, that's...
First of all, Marinette is Christmas City, USA. That's going to catch fire.
Yeah.
But no, no Milwaukee, no Madison, no Green Bay. Milwaukee's a really good Christmas town. They got all those, like the Nutcracker and Christmas Carol. That's really strange. Chicago was 11. Okay. Chicago's a great Christmas town.
So I feel like the major cities are getting love. No other, like,
right.
You know.
Marinette's not making this list.
I mean, I don't even think Milwaukee is not that major of a city compared to the other ones, I feel like.
Really? That's bigger than some of them, right? I mean, it's probably about the same size as St. Louis, but Minneapolis is 19th. St. Paul is 20th. Portland is 15th. Denver, 18th. See, I thought Denver would be higher. Beautiful mountains, snow. Los Angeles is 16th. Honolulu, 13th. You know what? I would spend Christmas in Honolulu.
I would definitely.
I would do that. So maybe I am a bit of a bah humbugger. Okay, folks, Rob Thomas is coming up next, and I'm going to ask Rob, we have to have a continuation because last night, one of our guests, Boris Hamilton, sort of trashed Christmas Vacation.
You did.
Conrad's favorite Christmas movie. And we'll ask Rob that, too, if he thinks that's a good movie or not. But all things movies coming up next with Rob. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Rich LoCascio. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. I would like to introduce to you the Pine Tree Mauler from Marinette, Wisconsin. He is Pete Schwabba!
Welcome back. I am Pete Schwabba. I am the Pine Tree Mauler. That makes me sound like kind of a badass, but he just means I'm the Pine Tree. I'm the Pine Tree Mall Walker.
I was about to say, you're the guy that walks around the mall that much.
I lap the 85-year-olds, and I just say, on your left, every 2 seconds, and I feel like an athlete. This is exciting, folks. I love nothing more than to talk movies and TV, and one of my favorite people to do it with joins us now. He is the CityCast Madison newsletter editor, and you follow him at Not That Rob Thomas Substack. He does great movie reviews, and he joins us here over the stream, as he so often does. Mr. Rob Thomas, back in the States, back in Madison. Good to see you, buddy.
Yeah, it's good to be back in this hemisphere.
How was your trip?
It was, so I went to Antarctica for a week with my mom. My mom has become this, she turned 80 this year. She's become this huge world traveler. She had already been to Iceland and Sicily this year and was like, I want to go to Antarctica. Do you and your brother want to go? And like, I mean, of course,
wow,
right?
Yeah.
And like I it was not even ever on my bingo card that I would go to Antarctica of all places. And it was incredible. It was like being on an alien planet. Like the penguins are just as cute as you think they are. There are hundreds of them, and they don't, you can get up to like 5 meters away and they don't even really are interested in you. They just go about their penguin business, and they're so cute. Incredible, just beautiful glaciers and icebergs. And we saw lots of whales and seals. Jeez. And I swear the weather was nicer here than it was in Wisconsin. Like I was feeling, I'm in Antarctica and I'm feeling bad for people back home dealing with, the snow and the cold.
I was going to say, like, was Wisconsin not cold enough in December? Your mom had to drag the family to Antarctica. Like
it was, I mean, I hate to say it was like 30s, you know, and it was sunny some days. Wow. And it was pretty nice. Yeah. And I never felt, I mean, you have a lot of gear and stuff. I'd never felt chilly like the way I did this morning when I walked the dogs. So, yeah, if anybody gets the opportunity, and I know that's a pretty rare opportunity, I highly recommend it. It's incredible.
Like where in Antarctica, Rob, is there like a Holiday Inn up there or what's the deal?
No, I mean, on these cruises, you go kind of on just the very end of it. There's a little peninsula that kind of goes up towards like Chile and Argentina, the tip there. And so you kind of tool around on a boat back and forth to the islands and then a couple of times to the mainland. So like, you're not like, this wasn't the thing we're talking about. This was, you know, this was a boat with a nice buffet every night and a bar. And,
yeah.
You know, it was electric cruise, but then also these National Geographic cruises, they've got like naturalists and photographers and divers, and they're telling you what to see and what to look for. And they're honestly loving it just as much as you are, because it's such a rare experience. So it was just really cool. I'm really grateful to my mom for taking me on this incredible thing. Yeah.
That's really cool. I noticed you weren't joking about the penguins. You posted a video on Facebook. It looked like you were 20 feet away and they just walked
past exactly.
Like nothing. It was so
cool. They have these little penguin highways, and as long as you keep a 5-meter distance, they'll just kind of, you know, all these people in orange parkas just stop, and because the penguins have the right of way, and they just kind of waddle by, and they might look at you, but they might just go on about their business.
Oh,
and
man.
I feel like we should have been able to pick one up and hug it. You know what I mean? Like, I understand biocontamination and science and all that stuff, but come on.
That's
one penguin, one hug. That can't be too horrible for the ecosystem, right?
That's very American of you, Rob. I should be able to hug a penguin. That's so great.
I may start an online petition.
I'll sign it. Send it my way, buddy. I'm there. What do you is there something about the holidays that stresses you out, Rob? What stresses you out the most, if you had to say something?
I think it just comes at you so fast. Like, and I don't know if this year was different, but like when Thanksgiving is over, you're like, geez, less than a month. And then that was the thing I got back from Antarctica December 7th, I think. And so like all of a sudden it's like, Jesus, less than 3 weeks until Christmas. I get all this stuff to do. This year, I think I did pretty good on presents. I think I've got everything pretty much nailed down, although there's always that last thing I completely forgot about. So yeah. I think it's just the lack of time to really like go like, oh, this is, can I enjoy this?
Yeah. Good answer. Great one. Let's start with a little bit. Have you seen Train Dreams?
No, I want to. I hear it's fantastic. Yeah.
It moved me. It was just really good filmmaking. I'm very anxious to talk about it with people. And it's in the Oscar conversations for whatever that's worth at this point.
Sure.
But I really enjoyed it. So I had to temper myself. So now I know we're not going to talk about that, so we can get to all these other cool things. So
I'll see it for next time, for sure.
Okay, perfect.
It's one I definitely want to see. Yeah.
I'm sure you'll review it soon, but it's just right there on Netflix. But let's start with Rob Reiner. What are your thoughts on his body of work? Like, I'm a huge fan, and I realized when I was looking up all of his work after he tragically passed away on Sunday that he never really wrote. He mostly directed, but he was phenomenal at it. Like, he was just an incredible storyteller.
Well, was he a comedy writer? Didn't he start like on the Smothers Brothers as like a comedy writer? I'm trying to remember that, but like he was just a naturally funny person. Like, like as an actor, like on All in the Family, which, you know, and like even like in his later years when he would do a cameo on something like The Bear, or he was in The Wolf of Wall Street, he was hilarious. Like, he knew how to be funny. But gosh, he had, I mean, the news is so awful. And like, when I saw it come out across the wire Sunday night, I just couldn't believe it. And it seems to just be getting worse. But he had, an incredible run as a director. When you think about, like, from This Is Spinal Tap in 84 to Stand By Me in 86 to Misery's in there, When Harry Met Sally, of course, A Few Good Men. I mean, just
Princess
an incredible
Bride.
Run that decade. Princess Bride. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. How did I forget that? That's how good it was. Forgot Princess Bride.
I've been remembering his movies all week. Like, I'd go to IMDb, and then, you know, you got to keep reloading the page because it's so long. I just kind of stopped after Stand By Me. But he also directed The Sure Thing, which I forgot about, the John Cusack
good
film.
Good movie.
Yeah. But, yeah, you're right. He was, you know, his it's rare that there's this titan of show business. You're probably right. He probably wrote for those shows. He was on All in a Family. And then he directed this string of movies in different genres. And I forget where I read this. It was somewhere on social media, but someone said he probably made the best coming of age movie, the best mockumentary, the best romantic comedy. Like, and you could make an argument for all of those films. And when you think about who he grew up around. Well, his dad is Carl Reiner.
Mm-hmm.
Mel Brooks was around a lot as a kid. Albert Brooks was his best friend. I mean, talk about the comedy in this guy's life. He pretty much, and sadly, you think, well, he crushed it. He took everything, became a sponge probably, and was this master storyteller, actor, director. If you're his son and your grandfather was a giant of show business and your dad maybe even upped the ante, I mean, you just got to go be a pipe fitter or a lawyer or something, right? I mean, how do you fill those shoes? And I'm not saying I know what the guy's issues are, but I haven't read much about it because it's too depressing. But
no, I mean, obviously he had serious problems, but I mean, think of Rob Reiner, you could say the same thing. I mean, Carl Reiner was a giant. He created the Dick Van Dyke Show and, you know, and so Rob Reiner could have very easily been like, well, how can I compete? And said he completely forged his own path. Like as a filmmaker, he sort of fell off probably the mid 90s. I think North was the one that, ended this run. But I read that like at that time, this writer came to him with this screenplay and Reiner said, great, I want to direct it. And the writer was like, no, I want to direct it. Please let me direct it. And Reiner said, okay. And Reiner directed North and this guy directed The Shawshank Redemption. So that would have been Rob Reiner's next movie. Wow. And he would have killed it.
And that was a Castle Rock film. That was his company.
Right. That's what I mean. Yeah. He produced it and they put their, you know, put their backing behind it. And he, you know, another aspect to his life was he was just seemed like the nicest person on earth. He wasn't jealous at all that like North flopped and Shawshank became this classic. He was very complimentary and supportive of Frank Darabont, the writer director, and said, you know, and was like that his whole life. This week he's just been seeing so many stories about people interacting with him. I read this thing by Will Wheaton, who was in Stand By Me, and said basically, you know, my biological father didn't care about me at all, and Rob Reiner was the second dad to me. And of course, you know, politically, Reiner fought back against this Proposition 8 in California, which would ban gay marriage, which when that was overturned, that led to the federal ban on gay marriage being overturned. I mean, you think of all the different ways, both creatively and politically, he influenced generations.
Yeah.
Such a great guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody, Rob Thomas is here, folks. He is a Madison-based film critic and the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. Check it out. It's a great publication. CityCastMadison.com, Robert, .fm?
I think it's .fm because of the podcast. Yeah.
Okay.
Great site, though. CityCast Madison, you'll find it.
Yeah. And it's interesting, like, just seeing all the stuff people have been posting about him. Like a lot of my friends had experiences with him, and you're right. He's just a nice guy. And I'm jealous that I never got to meet him. Like my friend, Paul Gannis, he was a fellow parent at the, at our kids' grade school. He was in a film and something happened. His dad got sick. He had to leave. And I should have wrote this down, but I was reading about it last night. I want to have Paul on the show to tell this story, but he played a pilot for Kevin Costner in a movie. He had to leave the set and he said, just rebook my part. I have a family emergency. Rob Reiner and Kevin Costner, to their credit, said, go, family comes first. Go be with your family. We'll wait.
Wow.
He said they chartered a plane to get him back home. It cost the set and production probably $100,000 to do this for him. And he was I don't know if he's a day player, had a few days or whatever, but stories like that say so much about a person. I mean, you take him for granted. Like, I didn't know what a great guy he was. Like, I thought he was a great guy and made good films.
Right.
Now this stuff comes out and you're like, oh man.
It says a lot about a person, how they behave once they have that power to do that. Like, what you could charter a plane for somebody. It says a lot about a person, how you choose to use that power. And it sounded like, you know, one of the hottest filmmakers in the 20th century, and he never lost that sense of like supporting other people, helping other people, making other people feel welcome and comfortable and supported.
Yeah. Just his decency. I mean, get that kind of power,
that's the word.
You either get off on saying, fire him, get him out of here, because you can. Or you're a decent human being, and that's what, by all accounts.
Oh, American president. He directed that too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they just keep coming. Yeah. Sorry.
So, Rob, we have a few things to discuss here. You've seen some films. I want to discuss Pluribus with you. I'm anxious to hear your thoughts on Song Song Blue. And I want to ask, when we come back, folks, I'm going to ask Rob, maybe he can settle the debate for us, because we had a guest last night, Rob, who said Christmas Vacation is not a good movie. So we'll talk about that with Rob, too. Our question of the night is, what stresses you out about the holidays? We will get into that as well. Rob, I also want to say, when I was looking at this before, that thank you for the shout out in CityCast Madison about the Godfather of Green Bay screening. It was very sweet, and I just noticed
I'm glad that. I'm glad that you packed the Atwood Music Hall.
Yeah, we packed it enough. Yeah. I don't know if we did hundreds of Beavers numbers, but we were fine. It was good. Yeah. All right, we're coming right back. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight. Rob Thomas is here.
He goes on. Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La-da-da-da-dee. La-da-da-da-da.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You want me, I want you, baby. My sugar boo, I'm levitating. The Milky Way, we're renegading. Yeah, 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 yeah. I got you, moonlight, you're my sunlight.
Welcome back. I need you. I'm Pete Schwab, this is Nightlight. Rob Thomas is here, folks, Madison film critic and CityCast Madison newsletter editor. That film was called Rumor Has It that I was talking about that my friend played the pilot. So I have to get him on here. It's funny. I directed him. Rob Reiner and I both directed Paul Gannis in a...
Colleagues,
Years. Yeah, well, wait till you hear what I directed him in. It was a student movie at our grade school about reading. So, you know... And I would not have let him take the day off. I would have held his feet to the fire. And so anyway,
you set him on his path.
He owes it all to me.
Yeah, you got the bug.
Absolutely. So let's go to movies here, Rob. I'm so curious. I'm really excited to see Song Sung Blue. Was it good?
So, I enjoyed quite a lot of it. Yeah. And it comes out Christmas Day, so I don't want to definitely spoil anything. And I haven't written my review yet. I saw it Monday. There was an early screening. It was the mystery movie at Marcus. It's a movie so it was cool. It's a movie with huge impact for Wisconsin, especially Milwaukee, because it's about Lightning and Thunder, which was this Neil Diamond tribute band. And if you went to Summerfest or you went to the Wisconsin State Fair in the 90s or 2000s, they were there. I mean, I don't know if you ever saw them, Pete. I know I
have
did.
Not. I wish I would have.
I mean, it was this married couple, Mark and Claire Sardina, and Mark or Mike? Mike and Claire Sardina. And they just threw themselves into Sweet Caroline and Cracklin' Rose and really became local celebrities. And so there was this great documentary called Song Sung Blue that came out in 2008. It was at the Wisconsin Film Festival, was a big hit there. And this is now the sort of fictionalized biopic version with Hugh Jackman playing Mike and Kate Hudson playing Claire. And what I really liked about it was kind of watching these two people who were like, he's a mechanic, she's a hairdresser. They're both in their 40s probably, but they've always had these dreams of being on stage, being in the spotlight, and watching them sort of like, you know, get together, get this idea for a Neil Diamond band, and then, you know, gig by gig, working their way up.
Yeah.
It's really entertaining. And it's funny because the writer director is a guy named Craig Brewer, who made this movie called Hustle and Flow 20 years ago about a Memphis rapper. It's kind of the same movie, even though the music couldn't be more different. It's like these people who are just kind of pushing themselves forward by will and talent and gaining more fans. And Jackman's good as Mike, and does it. You know, it's funny because he's not playing Neil Diamond. He's playing a Neil Diamond impersonator
right
in Milwaukee. And I think he really gets that sort of that flavor of it. And then Kate Hudson, if there's Oscar talk, it's about her. She's really fantastic in it. She hasn't really been in a movie in a role like this in a while. She was in a Knives Out movie. But if people know the story, there's a they had their fair share, more than their fair share of tragedy in their life. And so what she goes through, I mean, Kate Hudson really conveys emotionally to the screen. You know, where I had problems is where it kind of diverts from the real, the facts, and makes it very Hollywoodized. And I don't want to spoil it. And I understand biopics do that. It's not a, yeah. It's not a documentary, but it just didn't ring true to me. Huh. But I think people are going to like, I mean, Hugh Jackman was all over Milwaukee a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
right?
I saw that.
He was scooping cops custard and, and what else. So yeah, there, I mean, yeah, I think people, it's a good Christmas Day movie. It's a good movie that, like, you know, after the presents are unwrapped, the family can go out and enjoy. And yeah.
So it is kind of a family film.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Okay. There's nothing objectionable, but I think like kids will like it, but also especially like Gen X boomer parents, especially if you ever saw them, the band will really like it.
It's Hustle and Flow was Terrence Howard, right? And
correct.
It's, yep. It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp was the song.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. That was a great movie.
It was. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
What have you heard, Rob, about Avatar, if anything?
I feel like I've seen a couple of early reviews come in. I've tried not to look at them, but I guess people, it's kind of more of the same.
Yeah.
Right. Which I kind of got from the trailer that, like, you know, it's visually dazzling. I'm going to go see it. I'm going to go see it in 3D Same. And IMAX because these are like, you know, amusement park rides as much as they are movies,
oh,
you know?
Yeah, great.
And, you know, you can't ever count out James Cameron. But I'm excited to see it just because I know like the first two were such experiences. I don't know how they're going to be as stories or.
Yeah.
Art, but I think as experiences, they're always, you always want to catch them on the big screen.
Can we keep you for a few minutes after the news, Rob?
Absolutely.
We got a lot to talk about here, so I appreciate the extra few minutes, but what do you think about Pluribus?
So I fell behind Pluribus when I was in Antarctica. I'm on episode 5.
Okay.
I get why some people, and I think you were included, were getting kind of bored with it.
Yeah.
It's funny because I was thinking about that. It's really only two characters in that entire show, which is Rhea Seahorn's character and this collective, right?
I mean, it's like a pod. Of other,
yeah, the pod. And so that could be really limiting, I think. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you know, Breaking Bad, which was Vince Gilligan's other show, had a lot of colorful characters. But if it's only two people, where can you take that? But I'm still interested to see where it goes. I trust that show, I think, to do interesting things with that.
That's a great way to put it. Vince Gilligan is amazing. I loved Better Call Saul, maybe more than Breaking Bad. And I was so excited to see this, but I feel like they have three episodes of material. It could have been a movie. I went from the first episode was one of the best things I've ever seen to, wow, this is getting really boring. And now I'm in Suckville. I'm so annoyed with this show. I know, Rob.
My God.
And I'm going to stick with it because it's Vince Gilligan. Yeah. And a couple times they tease you at the end of the episode, and then I tune back in. Finally, something's happening. I'm like, oh, they just kind of glossed over. I don't know what is going on. So I said, get that off my chest to a professional. All right, Rob Thomas is here, folks. He's going to stick with us for a few more minutes after news, weather, and sports, which comes up next. And we'll have that Christmas vacation debate. That's coming up next. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.